I have read in the Bible that God told of sinners that he let his son die in their place. Pay the price for their sins on the old cross of Calvary. Thank the Lord for his marvelous grace.
This is the Back to Calvary program with Reverend Wayne Guyon. Address all mail concerning this program to Reverend Wayne Guyon, 1902 South Main Street, Mount Airy, Maryland, 21771. Now, the Back to Calvary program. If you would like a cassette of today's program, send a gift of $3 to help support this program, giving date and call letters of this radio station.
Stormy waters all around, the waves are up and rolling high, but amidst it all, all I plan to see. There's a parish of old heaven, and the keeper hears my cry.
Tis a rock of
ages, a rock of ages, left for me.
Stormy waters round me,
stormy waters round me.
Thunder roll,
how the thunder roll,
how the mighty bill,
how the mighty bill,
oh, cross me,
oh, my soul, oh, the fine keeps
upward.
When I sing, when I look and see, tis a rock of ages,
a rock of ages,
left for me. Harbor lights come into you,
and the welcome bell,
and the welcome bells ring out so free. Just a few short days of sailing, then I'll have a life that's new.
Tis a rock of
ages, a rock of
ages,
left for me.
Stormy waters round me,
stormy waters round me.
Thunder roll,
how the thunder roll,
how the mighty bill,
how the mighty bill,
oh, cross me,
oh, my soul,
Lord, if I'm too
comfort.
Stormy waters round
me, stormy waters round me.
Thunder roll,
how the thunder roll,
how the mighty bill,
how the mighty bill,
oh, cross me,
oh, my soul, Lord, if I'm too comfort.
Lord, if I'm too
when I sing, when I look and see, tis a rock of
ages, a rock of ages,
left for me.
Hello, today, once again, we're going to be reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. And for the sake of saving time, we're only going to be reading 7 verses of Scripture, that being verses 10 through 16. And here in this passage, the Word of God says this: Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the blessings of life. And as we have opened thy word and have read from thy word today, I pray that as we bring this message, that you will speak to us and speak through us. and do that which needs to be done in the heart and life of every listener. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, we want to bring the 17th part of the message entitled, Will You Be Able to Stand in the Hour of Battle? Will you be able to stand in the hour of battle? But before that we proceed, there are some things that we need to say by way of review to bring us up to the place where we left off on the broadcast last week. Now here in the book of Ephesians, in these various chapters, we find that the Apostle Paul deals with the believer a little different. Here in chapter number 1, we have the believer's wealth. In chapters 2 and 3, we have the believer's work. In chapters 4 and 5, we have the believer's walk. Then in chapter number 6, we have the believer's warfare. And here in chapter 6, in verses 10 through 20, we have two things mentioned in connection with the believer's warfare. First, we have the encounter in verses 10 through 13. Second, we have the equipment in verses 14 through 20. Now, my friend, the Apostle Paul, in closing this lofty epistle, condescends to a battlefield. And the reason that he condescends to a battlefield is because the believer's life is lived on a battlefield. My friend, the Christian is a soldier in God Almighty's army. And this is exactly what Paul is dealing with here in Ephesians chapter number 6. Now, in the weeks prior to this, we have already dealt with verses 10 through 15 and with some of verse number 16. For when we went off the air last week, we had just began to deal with the fourth piece of armor that Paul speaks of here in this passage of Scripture, that being the shield of faith, as is set forth in verse number 16. The first piece of armor that Paul speaks of here in this passage of Scripture is the girdle of truth. The second piece is the breastplate of righteousness. The third piece is the shoes of the gospel of peace. And then the fourth piece is the shield of faith. And I want to continue to deal with the shield of faith on the broadcast today. Here in verse number 16, once again, the Word of God says this, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now here in this particular verse, the Apostle Paul speaks of the shield of faith. Now listen, my friend, when we come to the New Testament, it is only here in the book of Ephesians that the symbolism of the shield is used. Only here in the book of Ephesians. But the symbolism of the shield is used often in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament. And at this time, I want to draw your attention to one verse of Scripture that is found in the Old Testament having to do with the shield. Now, the first time that the word war is used in the Bible is in Genesis chapter number 14. And then immediately following, in chapter number 15, we have the word shield used for the first time in the Scriptures, that being Genesis 15:1. And here in this verse, the Word of God says this, after these things, the Word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield. I am thy shield. Now here is the first time that the word shield is used in the Bible. Here's the first time that the Lord is referred to as a shield. And my friend, this verse tells us that the shield refers to the person of God, and He is protecting care of His people. Well, in other words, my friend, this tells us that God Himself is the shield of His people. God Himself is the shield of His people. Now you'll notice here in Ephesians chapter number 6 that Paul speaks of the shield of faith. And I want to emphasize that word faith at this time. Here we find that Paul speaks of the shield of faith. Now listen closely, my friend. The shield is that piece of armor which points to His object. The shield is that piece of armor which points to His object. And we find that right here Paul speaks of the shield of faith. And faith's object is God. Faith's object is God, according to the book of Romans, chapter number 4. And my friend, we find by this, once again, that the Word of God tells us that the shield refers to the person of God in His protecting care of His people. And I might say this as well at this time. In the weeks prior to this, we've already stated and dealt with the fact that all of these pieces of armor that Paul speaks of here in this passage of Scripture has reference to Jesus Christ. The whole armor that Paul speaks of here in Ephesians chapter number 6 has been provided in Christ. In Christ. Now listen closely, my friend. Paul here speaks of the shield of faith. Of faith. And in Romans chapter 10 and in verse number 17, the Word of God tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And in John chapter 1 and verse 1, the Lord Jesus is referred to as the Word. The Word. So we find, my friend, that the shield of faith has reference to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. So we find that God Himself is the shield of His people. And when Paul here in Ephesians chapter number 6, when he speaks of faith, he is speaking of confidence and complete reliance in the person, purpose, and power of God Almighty. Most certainly that is what Paul is speaking of here when he speaks of the shield of faith. My friend, God Himself is the shield of His people. There are 20 references in the book of Psalms referring to the Lord and His divine defense. The psalmist cries out in the book of Psalms and he says, "The Lord is my strength, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my buckler, my salvation, my high tower, my defense, my refuge, my habitation, my shepherd, and my shield." My friend, the Lord is the shield of His people, and He shields His own. Most certainly does. In connection with the shield, I want to say this. As a young soldier during the Civil War, Ira D. Sankey was on sentry duty. Now, my friend, Ira D. Sankey is one of the men that took care of the singing while associated with D.L. Moody. Ira D. Sankey is one of the men that wrote many many of the old hymns that is still sung today by God's people. But as a young soldier during the Civil War, Ira D. Sankey was on sentry duty. And just as he was marked for death by an enemy soldier, he began singing a familiar hymn. And when he did, the enemy lowered his rifle and listened and decided not to shoot. You see, my friend, Sankey was shielded. He was shielded so he could go on and work with D.L. Moody for a long and useful life. My friend, the Lord himself is the shield of his people. He shields his own. Most certainly he does. Now, I also want you to notice that here, in verse number 16, this verse begins with the words, above all. Here in verse number 16, Paul says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Now listen, my friend, one of the reasons that Paul uses the words above all in connection with the shield of faith is this. The shield of faith is that piece of armor that is used to protect the soldier, not just from one direction, but many directions. Many directions. My friend, the shield is that piece of armor that is used for the protection of the whole man. The whole man. Thus we see the importance of the shield of faith. And this is one reason that Paul uses the words above all in connection with this particular piece of armor here in verse number 16. Also, I want you to notice that here in verse number 16, Paul speaks of the wicked. Here in this verse, once again, the Word of God says above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The wicked. Now listen, my friend, Roman soldiers in the days of the Apostle Paul called their enemies wicked ones. Wicked ones. Right here in Ephesians chapter 6, and verse number 16, Paul is speaking of the enemy of a Christian, who is the devil. And he refers to him as the wicked. The wicked. We know that this is speaking of the devil. For if you will read Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 19, you will find in that particular passage of Scripture that the Lord Jesus refers to the devil as the wicked one. The wicked one. Not only that, but you also notice here in verse number 16 that Paul speaks of fiery darts. Here in this verse, he speaks of fiery darts. Now in the days of the Apostle Paul, soldiers many times would take arrows or darts and dip the tip of them in tar. And then they would set them on fire. And after doing so, they would shoot them at enemy soldiers. At enemy soldiers. But we find that if those enemy soldiers had shields and used them correctly, these fiery darts would not cause any damage. In the days of the Apostle Paul, some shields were made out of skins. And the shields that were made out of skins were taken and soaked in water the night before the battle. This was done so that during the battle, when a fiery arrow or dart was shot at them, all they had to do was hold forth the shield that had been soaked in water, and the fiery dart would simply go out. Now, my friend, I've said that to say this. The word water many times is used in the Bible in a figurative way. Many times the word water is used in the Bible as a symbol of the Word of God. The Word of God. And my friend, we as Christians ought to be so saturated with the water, we ought to be so saturated with the water or with the Word that when the devil directs a fiery dart towards us, it will simply go out. Go out. So we find here in this passage of Scripture that Paul speaks of fiery darts. Now, you'll notice here that when Paul speaks of fiery darts, he is speaking of Satan's attacks. Here in this verse of Scripture, Satan's attacks are called fiery darts. Fiery darts. And my friend, if you are a Christian, you are to think on this expression, fiery darts. There is much to be learned from this expression. Most certainly there is. Satan's attacks here are called fiery darts. And I want to emphasize the word fiery at this time. I believe that there are two reasons for the use of the word fiery here in verse number 16. Number one, Satan's attacks are called fiery darts because of the hellish hate with which he shoots them. This is the first reason. Number two, Satan's attacks are called fiery darts because in his temptations, he seeks to inflame our passions. He seeks to kindle or ignite our lust in his temptations. So we find, my friend, that this is two reasons for the use of the word fiery as used in verse number 16. And I might say this as well. In James chapter number 3 and in verse number 6, James speaks of the tongue set on fire of hell. And the reason that James says this is because he is speaking of the tongue that's been affected by the devil's fiery darts. This is why James speaks as he does. In James chapter 3, and in verse number 6, he is speaking of a tongue that has been affected by the devil's fiery darts. Now, there's also some good reasons why that Paul here speaks of Satan's attacks as darts. Darts. And I believe that there are four reasons why that the word darts is used here in verse number 16. Number one, Satan's attacks are called fiery darts here in this passage because darts are swift. Darts are swift. My friend, many of Satan's attacks are carried out in this manner. They are carried out swiftly. Swiftly. Number two, Satan's attacks are called fiery darts because darts are silent. Darts are silent. And my friend, this is exactly how the devil operates many times. Many times he operates silently in the background. Most certainly he does. Number three, Satan's attacks are called fiery darts because darts are sharp. They are sharp. And my friend, Satan's attacks, if the Christian is not Be careful! We'll cause great pain and great sorrow and great grief. Most certainly this is so. Number four, Satan's attacks are called fiery darts because darts are sighted. They are sighted, or in other words, they are aimed. They are aimed. And the fiery darts that Paul speaks of here in this passage, they come towards the believer in many directions from the wicked one. From the wicked one. So we find that this is four reasons why that Satan's attacks here are referred to as darts. As darts. Now that is as far as we're going today with the message entitled, Will You Be Able to Stand in the Hour of Battle? Will you be able to stand in the hour of battle? You listen to the broadcast next week, and we will bring the 18th part of this message, if God allows. But in closing today, I want to say this. Satan's attacks here are referred to as fiery darts. And my friend, darts are swift, they are silent, they are sharp, and they are sighted. They are sighted, or in other words, they are aimed. And you can mark it down. If you are involved in the service of the Lord Jesus as a Christian, the devil will see to it that some fiery darts are directed your way. Most certainly, this is so. But at the same time today, I want you to understand that the Lord Himself is the shield of His people. And as such, He shields and protects His own. And because of this, every Christian listening to this broadcast today should bow their head and from their heart thank the Lord for caring for them and protecting them as He has. If you are saved, you are to do exactly that at this time. And then I might also say this. If you're listening today and you've never been saved by the grace of God, my friend, you're lost. You need to be saved. I'd ask you to bow your head and from your heart exercise faith in the finished work and in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Call upon God and ask Him to save you. And He will, and you'll know it. Thank you.